This is an AMI podcast.
Hey guys, welcome along to another episode of Double Tap. It's Monday, it's the 11th of March 2024. Coming up today, AI comes to Jaws. We'll be joined by Ryan Jones from Vespero to tell all, and a demo from Michael Babcock.
You're listening to Double Tap, your daily accessible technology show. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Sean Preece.
Ah, Sean Preece, me old mucker, me old horse thief. How are you?
I am great, Stephen Scott. You are looking radiant, sir. What's happened to you?
Oh, I've had a weekend away. I've been relaxing. Oh. I've been chilling.
Yes.
I've been in really weird situations, if I'm perfectly honest. I am not... What is it? Neapolitan? No, that's not right, is it? Metropolitan man.
Are you not? I thought you were.
Well, I have taken the subway in some cities.
Well done. I set you up for that joke. I knew it was coming. Yes.
I feel you're so like my work wife, and actually my real wife, because she'll say to me, "Oh yeah, I knew that joke was coming." Here we go. Goodness.
So you've been.
I always live in the hope that someone new hasn't heard it. You know.
Yes. Hello, new listeners.
Hi.
Prepared to hear that a lot. Now, you've been relaxing, chilling, and amaxing, as I believe Will Smith said, at a spa. Is that right?
Yes, not in any way sounding like that. I was in a spa in Edinburgh, Scotland's finest city.
I believe they have a castle there.
They do. They have a castle. I was actually in the hotel overlooking the castle.
Oh, bigger than the castle. La-dee-da. Okay.
It was the castle. Staying in the castle. King of Scotland, staying in the castle for the weekend. No, we had
King
a lovely time.
Wow. Okay, yeah. so let's just jump straight to it, right? You deserved a break. Well done. It was a
Thank
little
you.
Treat for yourselves, you and your
Thank
good
you.
Lady wife.
It was a hero ultimate.
You two are heroes.
It was for my wife, my long-suffering wife.
Yes, she needed a break.
She works. Yeah.
From you, though.
Listen,
but.
She, yeah, exactly. She kind of wanted me not to be there, but I went along anyway. But no, she did, and she works like proper work. She does proper work.
Mm-hmm.
Not like this, whatever this is.
How dare you? This is proper.
No, well, okay, not. Maybe the editing is, but none of the bits I do. Trust me, just sitting here talking garbage is not the Hang on, where is he? Oh, there he is. I knew he wasn't far away.
It's incredibly difficult work.
It is. It's incredibly difficult. Anyway, yeah. So we went away for the nice weekend, and we went into this spa.
Spa. Yeah.
Yeah. And have you ever been to a spa?
I've never been to a spa, and I'll tell you why. It brings me out in tension and in anxiety. The thought of me bumping around other people in towels, semi-clad, mind you.
Yes.
Ugh. No, I don't like the sound of that, I'll be honest. How did you get on?
It was hilarious. I just went all in on it. I just went all in. I thought, do you know what? Just accept who you are.
Mm.
I am not a man who should be seen outside.
No.
But
I'm not keen on inside either, but
No, that's just true, yeah. But
I am what I am. You went all
exactly,
Popeye.
As Gloria Gaynor once said, I am what I am.
I am rotund. Is that
other
word?
Words? Well, you know, people say you should get in shape. Round is a shape. I've said it for years.
Well done.
Anyway, yes, so I decided to go all in on this, and I donned the ill-fitting gown that they gave me and went off through the hotel. I can only describe it like Tony Soprano going for a spa. That's the only way I can think of it, because remembering the days of watching The Sopranos where he would walk around with his ill-fitting gown on, sort of a half attempt at Tide, but, you know, it's clearly going to come loose any given second. And, you know, I just marched through the hotel thinking, well, this will teach people what happens to you when you let yourself go. This is the result.
This is the before picture.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I'm going to help people here. So,
did you have your cane with you?
I did. Oh, yes. So marching through a hotel with my cane and my gown and my sunglasses. I mean, I don't know what people thought, to be perfectly honest. They got
weird.
In my way.
Yeah, doesn't that feel strange using your cane naked almost? I'm going
to
say it.
Oh, no, I wasn't. To be very clear on this, I am aware of myself, and I wore clothes under the gown because I'm not an idiot.
Full suit, okay.
Yeah. Well, you just don't know, right? You don't know what you can't tell what's on display. So you're thinking, well, let's just ensure safety.
Of course, yes.
There are children running around this hotel, for goodness sake.
Right.
We don't want to be thinking about people here.
Yes, okay.
I'm a very considerate man.
Yeah, all right, well done you. Still, I would have felt awkward. I'll be honest. Did you sit on anyone's lap?
No, that was the good news. Because what happened, and this is the weird thing about these. So you go in, and the spa had seven different types of sauna. So we had warm, we had hot, and we had blistering hot, and then skin will peel from your body warm.
Are you sure that wasn't the oven?
I think I was in the kitchen by that point. I'd walked too far. But no, it was really nice. I didn't go into the large or the hot ones. I didn't go into those because that was just, I mean, you walked in and you could feel the air whacking you in the face as you walked in. And I thought, wow. Yeah.
Like when you get off a plane abroad somewhere really hot.
That's right.
Yes.
It felt like the room was on fire. And this apparently is pleasure. And all that, so I went into one of the saunas and I'm sitting there. My wife, she says to me afterwards, she says, I knew exactly what you were thinking. Everyone else around you is just relaxing and enjoying it. And I am sitting there thinking, what on earth does anybody get out of this? What does anybody get out of this? I mean, I'm
it's
sitting
nice.
Here in a room sweating my towel off.
Well done.
And I can barely see anything. I am getting blasted with heat. Mm. I'm sitting on a wooden bench, which is not very comfortable.
No.
And this is meant to be enjoyable. And also, I'm paying for this.
Yeah. But afterwards, when you plunged into the ice bath afterwards, didn't your skin feel just glorious, sir? Wasn't it all worthwhile?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, all right. Fair enough, then.
Do you know what I felt? I felt like I was walking around a rich person's playground. I felt like one of the elite.
Well, you were, sir. Well done. You deserve it.
And I didn't like it. I want to be in the kitchen and downstairs in the buffet, talking to the normals.
Yeah,
I don't want to be hanging
buffet.
Around these rich people that, you know, sit around all day. I don't know, one guy was rubbing his wrists with ice from some, you know, ice spewing machine.
What's wrong with that? Don't judge people, Stephen Scott. What's wrong
weird.
With that? Well, okay. It's not for the likes of us. That's for the other people.
No, I felt very out of touch. I thought my working class background is not in show here, and this is not good.
Everything else
friends
was.
Of mine who would disown me. But yes, absolutely. But, you know, we did have those showers. You go into these showers, and they have, like, you have four buttons on the wall, and you press each button in turn gives you a different shower experience. So one is, for example, Tropical Storm.
Yes.
Another is Cool Mist, which was unbelievable because it's just beautiful misty rain.
Yeah.
It's basically
clues in
like
the name,
in Scotland.
Stephen.
Yeah, yes. Just like standing outside in Scotland. I could have gone outside and got it for free, but instead I stood inside and paid for it. And then they had like a Caribbean storm, which was very interesting. And they had the lights flashing, and they had the water comes from every angle towards you, and it was like wow. And then that was it.
Okay. What anti-climax there. And was there Braille labels on each button?
No.
Oh, ableist, that's it. Forget
that's
it.
Right. Ableist showers.
I'm not paying my bill. I'm checking out immediately.
And all the time, this is God's honest truth, all the time through this, Marie and I kept saying the same thing. I wonder what Sean would think of this.
I would have loved it. You know, I've got a bit of a fetish when it comes to showers.
You'd have loved the showers.
Oh, yeah. I can't. The waterfall shower, I can spend hours in there. I love it.
What is that about you and showers?
I love
never understood this.
A hotel shower is because I'm not paying the bill at the end of the day. I haven't got a water meter, the electricity, whatever it may be. I'm not paying it. So I'm going to make the most of it. I will spend hours in it. Anyway, welcome to Double Tap. It's a tech show. Honestly.
It is. Shall we talk about some tech?
We should.
Yeah, we probably should. It was a nice weekend, though. It's nice to get away.
Good.
I feel a bit lost today. No, I feel a bit... No, do you know, I actually did enjoy it. I did enjoy it. Because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, but did you... You know, it's funny. It was so kind of... It was so done so quickly, I think, that, you know, we were kind of away and we were gone. We were so busy
no time
on,
to worry.
That's right. You know, Thursday, I was working in the morning... And then off we went, and it was so quick that I didn't have a chance to stop and think. I think that's the problem sometimes. If you stop and think too much, thinking's terrible.
Oh, I agree. I'm again it. Blind hotel, sir. That's the future, although they all seem to be closing down. But besides that, blind hotels, no worries.
Yeah, there are still a couple kicking around. I don't know if there's as many in the UK as there used to be. I know there used to be a couple in the Lake District area, but
yeah, I don't know if they're still gone.
Anyway, shall we talk about some tech news? I know it is a tech show. We probably should. Coming up later, we're going to be joined by Ryan Jones from Vispero. He's going to be talking to us about the latest update, which came out just tail end of last week. It was announced that AI has finally made its way to Jaws.
Yes.
So, PictureSmart.
Yes.
Yeah, so PictureSmart has been in Jaws for a while, but it's getting a bit of an upgrade. But you have to enable it in settings. I didn't realize this. You have to go into, what do they call it again? The
Early Adopters menu. Adopters menu. And I don't think a lot of people knew this because all in social media, that's all I've been reading. Where is it? It's not there. This hasn't got it. I thought it was in this update. But it is off by default. It's something you need to enable because, you know, it is early days for this new feature.
And, you know, you do have to make sure you've got the latest version of Jaws as well. So just check your updates as well. Make sure you've done all your updates on Jaws so that the feature will arrive. Because the Early Adopters program came out in Jaws 2024, I think. I'll check that with Ryan. But I think that came out in 2024. So you want to make sure you've got the very latest software as well. So you will need Jaws 2024. Those people still running Jaws in 2019 and 2020. And, you know, you're not going to get access to this feature at the moment unless you do the upgrade to the latest edition. A lot of people still running off old versions of Jaws as well.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, look, I mean, a lot of people still run a Windows XP and seem quite happy. So, listen, if it works for you, I mean, you know, security aside, if it works for you, then fine. And I understand that, I do. Anyway, I want to mention some other stories because quite a lot going on in the news. Be My AI is apparently coming to Windows. Did you hear about this?
Just in time for PictureSmart AI. That's lovely. Honestly, Be My AI. Can't you just wait a minute?
I know. Honestly, always hogging the limelight, those guys. So I don't know. What do you think about this? Because Be My AI coming to Windows. So I'm guessing it's going to be very similar. Although I'm guessing the images will be web-based because you're not going to be able to take an image into a PC. And like, how would you do that?
Well,
not like you can just take a picture the way you would with a phone.
I haven't read this news. So how is it coming to Windows? It's okay saying it's coming to Windows, but how? Are we going to get a Be My AI app in the Microsoft Store?
Yes. So it'll be coming in via the Microsoft Store, yes.
Okay, so it should be possible to do it anywhere. I'm assuming they would implement some sort of system-wide global keyboard shortcut. And whenever you do that, you would simply take a snapshot of whatever's on the screen or a window, for example, you're in, and it would send it straight through or whatever you're focused on. I mean, look, the Jaws, the new picture AI feature, works in that way. The NVDA works in that way. Even without the AI add-on, when it comes to NVDA, you still have the, I believe it's NVDA key plus R for recognize an image. So this isn't a particularly new feature, but I'm very interested to see what Be My Eyes have done with this. I think this is very, very interesting, very cool.
AI really has killed off OCR in some ways, hasn't it? I mean, you know, OCR is I guess, the bedrock of how it works. To some degree, although I'm not entirely sure if it is. I don't know how AI doesn't drive the same way.
I'm not sure it has, because there's times where I can take an old-fashioned, if you like. I remember back in my day, OCR. You could do an OCR scan of something, and if it didn't recognize it, you would get nothing back. Now, the thing with AI, I'm sure we're going to talk about this, is, you know, sometimes it will just guess, and it will present that guess like, yeah, this is what it is. That's, you know, hallucinations is something that is in AI. So sometimes I think, the old-fashioned OCR, at least I know, okay, it doesn't know what this is.
And, of course, let's not forget people who want to scan books. You know, you're not going to use AI necessarily that.
Books.
Don't start this again. I see it properly, priest.
If you want to scan a kook book, OCR is the way to go.
I was thinking of going somewhere at the weekend, somewhere that's nice to relax. You know, it's often got somewhere you can get a massage and maybe a facial and a swimming pool.
Yeah.
What's that called again?
That's called a spa.
Yeah, that's exactly not what
a
it's
spa.
Called.
Carry on. I love this news. That's what I'm saying. Sorry, I can't wait.
Well,
when is that released?
I'm with it.
Do we know?
I don't know. There's no date as yet, but it's coming. So just the news is it's coming. I'm guessing, knowing Be My AI, it will not be hanging around. It will be coming, I guess, as soon as it appears in the, the store. So we will keep an eye out on the store for that and see when it shows up.
I wonder if it's bringing more features than just the AI. Be My Eyes on your desktop?
Well, the other thing about Be My AI, which is kind of new and came out late last year, I think. Maybe it was earlier this year. I think some moved so quickly over there. But, of course, they've got this new feature with talking to companies via chatbots.
Yes.
And you know, they're implementing, for example, the Disability Answer Desk now has this. From Microsoft, you can talk to a chatbot and oftentimes get the result back that you want without having to talk to a human. You have the option to talk to a human, but you can also directly communicate with this. And, of course, on Windows, that would be a perfect partner, wouldn't it? Just being able to bring this up and just say, hey, I've got a problem here. Can you help? And then it just does it. So kind of takes the Disability Answer Desk a step further by making it available on your computer, which is brilliant, which maybe explains why it's not in the Mac yet.
Ah, well, yeah.
Because actually, you know, I was thinking about this, right? Because the Mac has this feature that a lot of people don't realize, where in certain applications, you can take a picture using your smartphone, and then you click on take a picture in the app on the computer, and then you pick up your phone is instantly put into camera mode, you take the image, and then it inserts that image straight into the document or the message or whatever it is in the field you want to put the picture into. That could work really well for Be My AI.
No. Oh, isn't that great? Gotta say, the Apple ecosystem, it just works. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I wish you could do that with... I'm sure that must be coming, or that must be able to be done with Android and Windows, is it not?
If it's not here already, I know in an upcoming update to Windows 11, at least, you are going to be able to use an Android phone as your webcam, like the continuity camera feature on the Mac. That is coming with an Android phone and Windows in an upcoming update, if it's not here already.
Yeah, and I read that had come to Samsung first, which I never understand that. How does Samsung get ahead of Google on that? Anyway, okay, so speaking of Google, they say their AI-focused Pixel 8 cannot run its latest smartphone AI models. Okay.
Why?
So they're saying that the best of AI is coming to Google Pixel 8 Pro, not the 8. Apparently, it says it's dropped the news that, and it was back in Mobile World Congress in a wrap-up video, at the end of the program, on stage, a member of the team, the Gemini on Android team, said Gemini Nano will not be coming to the Pixel 8 because of some hardware limitations. It's currently on the Pixel 8 Pro and very recently available in the Samsung S24 family. It'll be coming to those high-end devices in the near future. So that means the latest Google Pixel 8 doesn't get the AI feature, but the Pro does. Now, Google, of course, designed this phone and the chip and the AI model, but couldn't get them to work together. It seems kind of weird.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
That's an odd one.
I kind of feel robbed, even though I don't have an Android phone. I kind of feel robbed at that point. But then there's always that weird cutoff point that these companies put in place, right? It'll run on this, but not this one. It's got to be the Pro.
You'd expect a couple of generations back at least. I mean, you'd expect them to say it's not going to work on the 7. Okay, I could kind of get that. It'll work on the 7 Pro. Okay, fine. But to say it doesn't work on this year's edition?
Yeah, no, I agree. It does feel kind of bitter, but I'm wondering what the technical details of that are. Is there some sort of AI chip, specific chip in the Pro that isn't in the standard, if you like, the 8? I don't know.
I just worry sometimes that things are moving so quickly that it's going to get to the stage where you buy a new phone and it's like as soon as you walk out the store with it, it's like, sorry, that won't work with anything now. You have to bring it back.
Yeah, that's right.
That's kind of where we feel it feels like the... Because, of course, we need to understand this with AI in particular. Everyone keeps saying AI, AI, AI. But with AI, in order for it to function, it needs a heck of a lot of computing power. It needs a lot of power, especially to work on device. And, you know, even if you want it to work offline... That means, you know, fields and farms will be decimated and replaced by data farms because it's the only way to make it work. And the more of us who use it, and the more of us who, and, you know, this is right now we're using it for text mostly, using it for coding, using it for image generation. Once you move into video creation, goodness me, it's going to get to the stage where every computer on Earth is going to become part of this. It will, you know, you'll find your computer spinning up at 3 a.m. because some guy in California wants to make a video.
some sort of matrix.
To use your power, yeah.
Or Sky Network, if you like.
Yes.
Wow, what a dystopian future you're predicting, Stephen Scott. I think it's time for a spa. You need to relax, man.
I need to go away again, come back, and decide it's all fine. But, you know, you must think that's close to true, right?
Well, yeah.
It needs a heck of a lot of power to run.
Yes, they do. But a lot of the time, we're farming this stuff out. All you need is an internet connection to send your query to that data farm somewhere, and then they send the results back. So when we're talking about on-device processing, then that is the reason we're talking about the Pixel 8 not being able to support the latest gen. But again, for what reason? Why would you want to do it offline on there? There's got to be some specific task that this can't do that they're flagging.
Yeah, that's odd. That is odd. I mean, they could have they could have said, "Well, we'll just do it offline and, you know, bring that in that way." At least it would give people access to it. But just to say it's not available, Gemini being the new name for Bard, which was the new name for something else they called it 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's called Gemini this week. I actually quite like Gemini. That's quite a nice name for it.
Gen AI. Gen AI.
That was coming from?
Yeah, generative AI. That's where the name comes from. But
Gemini. Ah.
Gemini. Okay.
Where did Bard come from?
Bookshare. I don't know.
Now, staying with Google, another story that I spotted at the end of last week, and I haven't had a chance to update my watch yet, but they've announced a new text-to-speech engine for Wear OS 4 and higher that is faster and more reliable. Thank goodness. Specifically, it has been tuned to be performant and reliant on low-memory devices. That's a bit like saying, you know, well, it'll work with the lowest device we can find.
It'll work now, is basically what that says.
Basically. With 2 gig being the norm today across the Pixel Watch and Samsung's Galaxy Watch 6, speech synthesis, if you can say it, is faster.
Well done.
Taking about 10 seconds following a device boot to become ready. Apps can pre-warm if they need instant access, thanks to deceased prosody ML models. Wow, I've walked into a world I did not know.
What does that mean? It's going to work faster, be more responsive. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So it says use cases include accessibility services, coaching cues for exercise apps, navigation cues, and reading aloud incoming alerts through the watch speaker or Bluetooth-connected headphones. However, Google notes how the TTS engine is meant for brief interactions and not reading aloud a long article or a long summary of a podcast. Historically, using the on-watch speaker, consumes a lot of battery, with most apps, YouTube music, not letting you access it. I'll be honest, I'm at my early days with this Google Watch 2, and I've got to say, the one thing that puts me off right away is the voice itself. The voice is harsh to listen to, and you can't change it. There's only one choice, and that's it.
Really?
So I'm hoping that, that there's no choice, there's no way to change it. You have speech, you can change the speech rate. The higher the speech rate, it becomes almost unlistenable. It's not as responsive overall as a watch. I mean, it is, I'd say, better than the first edition, certainly better than my first experience of a Google Watch, or I should say a Wear OS watch, which was back at the Samsung Galaxy Watch 4. I think it was the first one I tried, which I just didn't even think was usable with voice or talkback. It has improved slightly, but the options, the feature set inside it is so limited. It is literally voice on, voice off, speech rate, and that's kind of it. There's not a lot more to it than that. And its functionality, it has got, you know, obviously all the gestures you can use that you would expect. Double tapping, you know, angular gestures. I think, although I did read recently they removed the angular gestures, I guess just because of the size of the screen.
Size of the screen is a bit difficult, but
in fairness, it's actually easier in some ways to do the angular gestures than it is to do double tapping with 2 fingers or, you know, that kind of thing, because the screen's quite small.
No review yet, Stephen Scott, even though you just said it was terrible, basically. No review yet.
Find positives. I'm looking for positives, okay?
Yes. It could all change.
I'm just going to say this. Every time I talk to Google about this, every time I mention I'm going to talk about this watch, I feel like they'd all rather just run under the nearest rock and hide. Nobody seems to want to talk to me about this watch at all. And I feel, sadly, even in version 2, I think the result of this, and this is why the review has kind of been held back and may never even happen, because I don't know if this is a watch I would even consider even suggesting to someone who's blind for sure.
Yeah, but how long do you give it? I mean, you know, I'm all for giving it let it bed in. You know, let me use it properly as I should. Not just 10 minutes, oh, this isn't working for me because I'm not comfortable with the UI. But how long do you give it before you say, you know what, actually, I can't recommend this for visually impaired people. It just doesn't work that well.
I think when you're constantly hitting barriers, I mean, even the very first Apple Watch, the very first one, honestly, was better than this. The very first watch that I got from Apple, and it wasn't great. VoiceOver wasn't brilliant on it. But it was better than this. And I think that says a lot, considering we're at version 2 and we're, 10 years on? In fact, we are, because what was Apple Watch 10 this year? So,
oof.
Yeah.
Unless you know different. I think
it's hardware.
If you're using one, let
us
know.
Even people who are using it, I'm not hearing anything other than, it's all right. Or, you know, yeah, I've tried it. No one seems to be actively using it every day. And if you are, get in touch, because I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get your take on this. Because I'm struggling with it. And I don't know if I'd want to use it every day. That's the point. I don't know if I'd want to actually be reliant on this thing every day. Because I don't think it's giving me enough accurate information all the time. Or it's giving me accessibility to the features I need.
Well, it's just frustrating to use. Simple as that. If you've got to wait while you swipe through, you're not going to use it. Okay.
Speaking of which, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow because we're running short of time here, but we're going to mention that there's rumors, and this is just why I'm kind of leaving it to end. There are rumors that Apple are developing a range of new accessibility features for iOS 18 and macOS 15. One being adaptive voice shortcuts that will allow users to help create a unique spoken phrase to an accessibility setting. So users would be given the option to create a custom phrase, select the accessibility setting they wish to toggle by speaking that phrase. By using adaptive voice shortcuts, you could be able to toggle existing accessibility features such as VoiceOver, Voice Control, Zoom on and off. There's a new category section for live speech as well. So live speech, which is already present in the OS, will receive a new section for user-created categories. You'll be able to organize phrases into categories of your choosing. When creating a category, users will be given the option to name the category and choose from a selection of around 20 different icons. Once the category is created, users would then be able to add their desired phrases. More apps would support custom font sizes as well. Currently, macOS Sonoma offers custom font sizes for, Calendar, Finder, Mail, Messages, and Notes. With macOS 15, that would extend to Books, News, Stocks, Tips, and Weather. And there'll be another, I'm sure, an update on all of this coming up. We're getting close to Global Accessibility Awareness Day. I feel a lot of this will be announced then.
Yeah.
As it often is, these features tend to be announced ahead of time. But yeah, some interesting news there. And Google Watch 2 can barely run TalkBack. Anyway, there you go. So,
wow, someone's got the knives out today.
Stick around. Up next, we're talking to Ryan Jones from Vispero to talk all about Jaws and a new AI feature in there. And Michael Babcock joins us for a demo. Stick around.
Follow Double Tap on social media at Double Tap on Air and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts and email us feedback@doubletaponair.com. We'll be right back. Call the Double Tappers now, 1-877-803-4567, or email us, feedback@doubletaponair.com.
And before we get to our guest today to talk all about this new AI Picture Smart feature in Jaws, we're going to hear a demo of it from none other than Michael Babcock.
Okay, so welcome, Double Tap listeners. I have an interesting setup for this recording, and I wanted to give you a brief demonstration of the new Jaws Picture Smart feature. But before we get into that, because, you know, audio and Reaper and all that lovely stuff, I wanted to let Sean know specifically, because Stephen, you don't have a Vocaster yet, do you?
No.
Pause for a second so you can insert his feedback as to if he does or doesn't.
He's good at this.
But with the Vocaster, I have a 1/8 inch to 1/8 inch cable. I think that's 3.5 millimeter. could be wrong, cable, the little one, plugged into the aux input, which is the top jack on the back of the Vocaster. And then the other end is plugged into a Lenovo laptop that I have to the left. Now, I'm using the MX keys because, you know, that's pretty cool to be able to just jump over to a different device. And now, if I do Windows D,
desktop, folder view, list view, FS Reader 3.0.
I have my Lenovo laptop coming in on its own track in Reaper because I used a template that has track one as host microphone from the Vocaster and track two as the aux as the input. So today I'm going to show you a demonstration of PictureSmart using the Zoom H4e image. So I found a product image thumbnail of this device on the web. So now I'm going to do JAWS key space. P,
PictureSmart,
and then C for control. And you'll hear what it currently tells me.
PictureSmart is in progress. Heading level 2 caption is a black rectangular object. Heading level 3 this tag describes the photo. Text, blank. Heading level 3 this tag probably describes the photo. Meter, blank. Link more results.
That's not really helpful. So let me show you what they've done with the new PictureSmart. We'll tap escape to exit this virtual viewer.
Zoom H4.
And then I'm going to use Control Shift Caps Lock J to pop open the JAWS menu.
JAWS context menu, options submenu to move through item.
We'll go to options.
Basics dot dot dot.
Choose the
early adopter program dot 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 E.
And we'll press enter on early adopter program.
Context menu, leaving menus. Early adopter program, read only edit, enable and disable features that are still in development. We use the early adopter, use your reading keys to...
And this gives you an explanation of the early adopter program. For the cases of this demonstration, we're going to tab to the
PictureSmart with generative AI checkbox not checked. A check, press spacebar.
And we'll check that checkbox.
Checked.
Then tab several times to get to
OK button to activate, press spacebar.
And we'll press the spacebar.
Early adopter program dialog. You must restart JAWS to apply these changes. OK button to activate, press
spacebar. That's fine. We'll press enter.
Zoom H4 essential.
And now we'll press JAWS key space F4, which causes JAWS to restart.
JAWS. Zoom H4 Essential 4-Track Handy Portable.
Now, we're going to locate the
product image thumbnail 1-5 link graphic.
Product image thumbnail 1-5. I'm going to press JAWS key space. P.
PictureSmart.
And then C.
PictureSmart is in progress.
Now you hear some clicks.
Link more results. The images.
And we're going to read this description now by going to the top of the page.
The image is a black and gray Zoom H6 recorder. The recorder has a large, bright screen in the middle with two large microphones on the top and a smaller microphone on the bottom. There are several buttons and knobs on the front of the recorder and a headphone jack on the side. Blank. Link more results.
And there's a more results link that we can choose.
Zoom H4 Essential 4-Track Handy Portable Audio.
That then does some more processing and you hear the clicking.
Heading level 2 Gemini.
And if we go to the top of this page,
heading level 2 Gemini,
the description Gemini gave us is
the images of a black digital voice recorder. It has a large screen on the front with a blue backlight. There are four buttons below the screen and a microphone on the top. Blank. Heading level 2 ChatGPT. The images of a device that appears to be a rugged handheld radio or a walkie-talkie. It has a dark dash colored body that seems to be designed for durability. Near the top, there is a display panel showing what could be frequency numbers or channel information, though the image is quite dark and not in high resolution, making it hard to decipher the specifics. This screen is illuminated in red and blue colors. Below the display, there is a series of buttons with symbols that are not clearly visible due to the image's quality and size. The device has an antenna at the top, and it looks like it's built to withstand tough environments, suggesting it might be used in professional settings such as construction, security, or by emergency services.
Now, as we know, the Moore description didn't quite get it right because GPT described it as a walkie-talkie or radio, whereas Gemini described it as a voice recorder. So Gemini got it a little closer, but the brief overview of the image was pretty impressive compared to what we originally received. So in summary, if you're interested in trying out the new features, update your JAWS to the latest latest version that was released in March. Go to the options menu, choose the early adopter program, and then tab to Picture Smart with Generative AI. Check that box, choose OK, and then use Picture Smart. If you're not familiar with the keystrokes for Picture Smart, do JAWS key space followed by P and then a question mark, and you can get help documentation on using the Picture Smart feature. From what I've heard, and I haven't played with it, the NVDA add-on is a little bit more robust, especially because you can ask questions about the images. I'd like to see the ability to ask questions about images with JAWS as well, but that's kind of cool, especially for inaccessible applications. Hope you enjoyed this.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it as always. Thank you so much for doing that on the weekend as well for us. Much appreciated. Sean, first thoughts on that?
Very impressive. You know what? My first thought was, wow, it's not nailed down just to one service. It's not, okay, this is powered by XYZ. It's powered by multiple AI backbones, which I really like because we could see the difference there, right? It's good to have that choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, joining us now and listening into that demo is Ryan Jones, Vice President of Software and Product Management at Vispero, the company behind JAWS, of course. Good to have you with us, Ryan.
Hey, Stephen. Hey, Sean. Glad to be with you guys.
So you listened into the demo there. Were you impressed by how that turned out?
I did, yeah. I think it was a great illustration of the difference in the higher level of information we can get now with AI services. And it also illustrated the realities of where we are with AI, which is it's not infallible, right? And you could see that with the ChatGPT description there was making some assumptions about that image. And I think it's a good example that there's still things that can go wrong with the descriptions or maybe room that those services can improve still, I guess, is the way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is interesting to hear the results of that. Very different descriptions in some ways. But what is good is, as Sean was saying, you're getting two choices there. You're getting two examples of what one can pick up from the image and what the other does. So how did that come to be? Because, I kind of had the impression this was just going to be a ChatGPT thing with AI. Why did you decide to build in Gemini? Was it for this purpose?
It was for the purpose of letting people have two things to listen to and to compare. So when we started the journey, we kind of thought we would probably go with one service as well. But we originally chose Gemini and ChatGPT, number one, because they're both backed by well-known companies, OpenAI for ChatGPT and Google for Gemini. And so we know those models we felt were the two furthest along in image descriptions. And so we decided, let's do some comparison between them. And what we found was that sometimes Gemini did better and sometimes ChatGPT did better. And so we said, let's just put both of them in, and that will help people recognize, or at least have a higher chance to recognize if one of them is incorrect. So in other words, if you didn't know what that image really was at the beginning, and you just heard the ChatGPT one, you wouldn't have had any information to tell you that it might not be a handheld radio or walkie-talkie. So having both descriptions helps you fact check it a little bit, and at least you don't necessarily, if you don't have any other context, you may not know which one's right, but you could also know enough to say, let me run this again and see if I get a different result. Because what we find with AI is if I run it five times on the same picture, I'm going to get slightly different information out of it. Now, it shouldn't be dramatically different, but it's going to give me certain details differently. And so we thought leaving both in, especially at this early stage in AI image recognition. I mean, we have to remember this technology has only been out for anyone to even use for 6 months, 8 months or so. And so, new. And so we're taking the stance, let's give you a lot of information, let you kind of sift through it. And as it changes and evolves, and then we will evolve. We may find other services. We're already investigating other models outside of those two companies see if they perform any better, and we'll integrate those as well.
You know, that initial response, I haven't played with Picture Smart yet, that initial response in the demo there, where is that one coming from? That was one response, right? And it wasn't until you went into more information or more details that you got the choice of the two different services. So is is it possible to choose your default service? Like, I always want to go to Gemini first, or always want to go to ChatGPT?
So when we started having our beta group test this, originally we had all both services results. So basically think of like the more results link that you heard that had all the detailed stuff. We had that coming in first. And the feedback we were hearing is that's really good, but a lot of times you just want something quick. You know, maybe if it's a small icon on the screen, like a checkbox icon or a thumbs up icon or something, you don't necessarily need a 200 word description of that. So what the feedback we heard was, give us a short result. And then if we want to hear more, let us use a link to get more and get real detailed and hear both services. So that's how we've started. And we can always change this based on feedback. But when we initially launched this through the early adopter program in the March update on March 6th, we were using Gemini as the first results there, when you get that short description and then more results gives you both. Now, I will say we're recording this on March the 11th. We have made a change to that that's rolling out this week. And it's ironic that that demo is opposite actually of what we're finding. So our testing, we're doing tons of testing and checking images. Our findings are telling us that the ChatGPT ones actually in most cases are more accurate. And so I think it is ironic that that one was reversed. It's not 100%, obviously, but in general, we see that ChatGPT is getting it right more than Gemini. So the term, the technical term is called hallucinations, when the AI makes inferences or mistakes about what it's seeing. We find that Gemini has more chance of hallucination. So we're actually flipping that where the ChatGPT description, a short description from ChatGPT will come in first, followed by if you use more results, you'll get both Gemini. So, and we have the ability to change this anytime in the back end. Like, you don't have to push another update to JAWS. This is all happening in a server application for us. So we can change this, and we probably will change it again, right? As this stuff changes so fast, we have the ability to change what services are being used and what order they're in. And we're always going to try to do that based on overall what we're seeing. And you asked about, you know, would we have the ability to set which one we want to give us the first description. We don't have it in right now, but that's something we certainly may be able to do in the future.
Yeah, I must say it must be so difficult as well, because, you know, you must feel in some ways like you're opening the door to hell, because you're now essentially responsible for all these results. But that's what it's like. It's like, you know, all these results are coming in and people are going to be saying, hey, JAWS, that's not the response I wanted. That's not the right one. And of course, you don't control the results, right? I mean, this is reaching out through ChatGPT, reaching out through Gemini. It's like Googling your own name. It's horrible. But, you know, you've got to essentially, in a way, take responsibility for these results, even though you can't take responsibility for those results. It must be a bit of a catch-22, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And one of our decisions was, well, should we just wait and do this when the technology is a little more mature and maybe less likely to hallucinate? And our thought was, yeah, it may be incorrect sometimes, but why, all the times that it is correct, why not let people use that now? And I liken it to, in some cases, it's not quite the same, but in some cases, if I ask a sighted person to describe something for me, and then I ask another one, I may get two different results about what they're describing. So even people will make inferences about and give their own spin on what they're seeing. And so we decided, let's just get this out there and let's do the best we can with it. And we're trying to communicate and we'll continue to communicate about what hallucinations mean, and that the fact that there's a chance the description will have things that are incorrect in it. But we'd rather people benefit from it than just not have it at all. And the great thing is, this is available to anyone using JAWS 2024. You don't have to sign up for OpenAI or Gemini. You don't have to put in API keys.
Yeah.
It's just there. And it's there for anyone in any language. And that was really important to us when we worked on this feature.
Yeah, that is important, actually. And I did see a few people saying online over the weekend, yeah, you don't even have to put in an OpenAI key or any of those things. That just takes time and effort. And actually, in some ways, could put people off the whole thing. Because, you know, exactly, because a lot of people might sign up for ChatGPT. I mean, I did. I signed up for ChatGPT Plus, which I think is quite good. But, you know, in a way, a lot of people aren't going to do that because they're not going to know the value of it or the benefit of it. Sean won't, because he's cheap.
Correct.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it's, lots it's just of people that... just don't know what an API key is in the first place.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not
exactly, exactly. And then shouldn't know, right? No. I mean, the average Jaws, you don't need to know what
it's
that is. You don't need to pay for this yourself and set up a credit card for OpenAI to charge. Like, we don't want people doing that. We just want access to images, and that's what we're doing.
Now, on that point, I'm thinking back to last year's Next Big Thing contest, and of course, it was Abby Duffy who came up with the idea that AI image descriptions would be built into Jaws. Is this the fruits of her thinking?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be naive of us to say we weren't looking at this already, because we obviously were, but that just gave us more information, more ammunition in a way that this was the right thing to be working on. This is what people were interested in. So absolutely, that her entry into that contest and winning that contest was a huge motivation for us to get this done and get it done quickly. So we're excited for that.
You did get it done quickly. That was a very, very, very fast implementation you did there. Very good. I want to move on to the, because I see so much talk about taking pictures of products and things. I've seen so much talk on social media about that. But I think that's sort of underselling it almost, because for me, I'm interested in the screenshot aspect of it, being able to describe what's on your screen, maybe an app interface that you're not sure of. You mentioned things like tick boxes before. So how does that work with this implementation?
So we added a couple of new keystrokes into this where you can take a full screenshot of your machine and have it recognized by the AI services, or you can just take a screenshot of the window that you're in, like the application you're in. So for example, if you do insert space P and then S, you'll get a full screenshot, your entire screen, or insert space P and then W will get the current window. I find this to be, using this is more powerful to me than just looking at images on the web in a lot of cases. And Sean, you kind of hinted at this. So I did an example the other day where I was working on something, a web application, filling it out, in a modal dialogue had come up, and there was some stuff in it that was not accessible, some text that wasn't showing up, and some controls. I really couldn't tell what they were because they didn't have accessibility coding behind them. So I used the Picture Smart AI and said, just show me, take the screen that I'm on and tell me about it. And through the description I got, I was able to much better tell what the screen was, that it was indeed a pop-up over top of the main screen. And I could get a sense of what was going on there. So I'm finding that really useful. I'm using it on web pages. I'm using it on emails sometimes when there's screenshots in an email. I'm using it a lot on PowerPoint slides right now when I'm looking at a presentation that someone sends me that may not be accessible. And there's graphics or charts or lines pointing to different things. I used it on a company organization chart recently, you know, and it described all the people and who they were reporting to and where the lines were pointing. And
wow,
those things are really phenomenal. I mean, it's great to look at pictures of your cats and dogs and family, but there's also a whole other world of this than just kind of the traditional photos that we're used to thinking about.
I go back to the days of working at the charity and the amount of times these documents would come through. And you'd have someone go through it, but you're kind of going with their description. It's only one time. It's a one-time deal because they're standing there in front of you explaining it, and then they go away again. And of course, that's it. The information has gone and left the room. And, you know, you're left with this inaccessible image. Now, being able to just go back to this image and, you know, get the information as you need, specifically find out as well about, you know, where people, exactly in an organizational chart, who reports to who. I think that's powerful stuff because it puts us all in a level playing field, which is great. And on that point, is there a time coming where we'll be able to query those results? Because that is often the thing, right? If you've got, say, an organizational chart, or you're looking at, you know, a number of cans of items in a cupboard, you know, and you've taken a picture of them, you know, you want to know what is what and specifically what is there. Is that something that's coming? Can we query
it? It is.
Soon?
Absolutely. We're already working on it. I can't promise it will be in the next update. That's a goal that we have. I can't, you know, we don't know exactly what we'll find as we're getting into that, but we are absolutely working on it. It's the next thing that we all wanted to see come into this feature because of the power of asking it questions. So you will definitely see this, and hopefully it will be within the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, Michael brought that up as well, didn't he? He brought that up about the NVDA add-on, which I haven't tried, actually. I think I might have tried it, but that's the one I think you need to add the API key to.
Yeah, we tried it a long time ago.
You have to sign up for your own account.
That's right. Yeah, you've got to have the account with it, which, for a lot of people, that's going to put a lot of people off. But the power users will love it. But, you know, it's everyone else, you know, and there's more of everyone else than there are of the geeks. I believe that. So,
how dare you?
and it's funny because people, even though we put this out really, really fast, I mean, the turn from when we started developing it to putting it out was a couple of months, really. But one thing that takes us a lot of time that we have to factor in is we have people using JAWS in, I think, somewhere around 190 countries in the world. And we're dealing with dozens of languages and localized languages. That adds a lot of complexity for us because we can't just leave those out. We can't just drop something and put it in English first and say, well, the rest of the world, you guys will get it later. So we have to build all this localization into the product. And when we build a new interface, like a chat interface, it all has to be localized. We have to have people translating the languages and building it in. So, you know, those are just examples of the complexity that goes on behind building these things that a lot of people don't realize.
Do you just to add to that, and you're making it accessible to us primarily. And, you know, it's not often that we get things first, or at least access first. So that's good. And I, when I say that, I mean in the way of accessing it. So, you know, we're able to actually use this thing like anyone else can, but in a much simplified way for us. Not that it's easier, just that it's simplified, that it's simple keystrokes, things we're used to, rather than having to, you know, oh, just drag your mouse up to the top left of the screen and click on the, and yeah, it's not going to work for us.
Exactly.
Yep. Can I ask, what makes this part of the early adopters menu? Is it partly down to the hallucinations, or is it just because of the speed in which you're making changes? You know, you obviously mentioned some things that may be coming up soon.
It's part of both. I mean, we would never consider this feature done right now. And so we put in the early adopter program recently so that when we have things that we want to get out for people to try, but we're not ready to say this is really finished and we're totally satisfied with it, we're going to use the early adopter program. We've been using it for ZoomText some. We used it for the MathCat implementation into JAWS recently. So we've decided to put it here because we're not done with this. We want people to know we're not done. And we want to make sure, because this is something new that we've never had in JAWS, we want to make sure that people just understand that it's not infallible, it's not finished. And we also want feedback. So it gives us another way to say, give us feedback, and we'll respond to that feedback as we're continuing to develop it. So yeah, those are the two primary reasons we put it in early adopter first.
And like most things inside JAWS, I always find new things all the time. I think, oh, I didn't know that was there. And I hadn't heard of this early adopters program. Is that new, or has that been around for a while?
It's really new to JAWS 2024. Okay. So we put it out in 2024. The first thing and the only thing that was in it before now was the MathCat for math editing and working with math. But we'll probably use it more and more as we go forward.
And I think it's important to maybe just delve into that for a second, because look, a lot of people are nervous about beta software, me included. You know, you upgrade to something which is beta. I mean, if I go and off, you know, download as I did the iOS 17.4 beta before it came out, and found all the faults along with everyone else before it was officially released, it of course takes over the whole system as an impact. But that's not the case here, is it? Because by what Michael was just demonstrating there, you're sort of not signing up to anything, but you are just enabling that one specific feature, and then all future updates on that feature will come through automatically. Have I got that right?
Yeah, it is. And if you decide you turn something on in the early adopter program and you don't like it, or it's not working the way you want it, you just turn it back off.
And it wouldn't have any impact on anything else.
Exactly. You don't have to reinstall something. You don't have to roll back to another version. You just tick a checkbox or untick it, and that's it.
And I think it's important to just remind people of the fact you do have to go to the early adopters program, because I'm sure you're going to have lots of people. I see on social media already people saying, where is this thing? I can't find it. It's not showing up anywhere. And I've tried PictureSmart, and it's not giving me the answers. But of course, you do have to enable it in that early adopter setting. So it's a good
point. It is. That was the one reason that was the only drawback in my mind to putting it in early adopter, is it you do have to do something in order to see this. And so we're trying to really push and promote, don't forget to turn this on in early adopter program first. It's not on by default when you install the March update to JAWS 2024. You have to go check that box under the options menu and then early adopter program. But we think the benefit is more, but yeah, we need people to do that. The other tip I want to give that is really important, if you're using this in a web browser like Chrome or Edge, make sure your window, your browser window is maximized. So if you, a lot of times we open a browser, it may not be maximized and we don't even recognize that, but just go ahead and before you use it, press Alt space and then X. And that will maximize your browser window. That will help the accuracy, because sometimes what happens is if the picture is slightly off the screen or something is covering it in a certain way, the code can't grab the picture in the right way if the screen's not maximized. So that's another tip we're trying to help promote. And I think we'll have probably in future updates some ways to help get around that. But again, that's why it's an early adopter, because we're not satisfied that it's 100% done yet.
I didn't know that short. I didn't know that shortcut at all. Alt space,
Alt space, and then X. That's a that's just some Windows keystrokes. Alt space will open the context menu of your browser, and then X is the hotkey for maximizing it.
Now you know. This program.
It's you actually learn things on Double Tap now. Obviously, good day.
No, never from us.
Just a quick question here. Do you think there's a chance of this ever going to an offline mode? I see a lot of interest now in spinning up local instances of AI servers, you know, people running it on their own computers and things. Do you think that's possibly built into JAWS in sometime in the future?
I think it's not out of the question. We asked ourselves this too, and we've been, again, we're looking at all the different capabilities right now, the offline models, the computing power, the memory, the capabilities are not there yet, but no. I will not be surprised if that is an option for us. I don't even want to guess a time frame, but I really believe that will be an option down the road.
Very cool. Ryan, great to talk to you as always. Thank you so much for coming on to Double Tap and sharing all the news about this new AI Picture Smart feature, which you can get, as you've heard, via the early adopters menu, and you can find that, of course, in JAWS, but make sure you've updated the very latest version as well. Ryan Jones from Vispero, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sean, that's it for today. Wow, what an interesting start to the week.
I know. And wasn't Michael fantastic, by the way? Thank you, Michael.
Yes. Yes, he was.
As ever.
He always is.
I know.
A little Reaper tip as well for you. I think you're going to be doing that with the Vocaster.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got the Vocaster. Can I just say, Michael, he's got the Vocaster because I gave him the Vocaster because he's too cheap to buy one.
Okay. You upgraded to something even better, didn't you? That's the truth of the matter. It was a hand-me-down, but I love it.
Listen, that's it for today. More news and feedback tomorrow on Double Tap. Catch you then. Thanks,
Sean.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Red Sail, inviting you to download the latest episode of My Life in Books, where internationally acclaimed authors discuss their lives, their work, and three books that have resonated with them. That's My Life in Books, available wherever you get your AMI podcasts.